ask for tonight's speakers, Victoria.
Thanks, Shelley. I'm Vicky, I'm an addict. God, I'm really nervous. I've done this before. I spoke here about, 2.5, 3 years ago or something, and I couldn't stop laughing because I was so nervous. So, slightly less nervous. I'm not really sure where to begin. I knew I was speaking here for quite a few weeks, and I've been doing it. I've been speaking in my head here for the last few weeks, so I've just kind of been practicing a lot, but I don't imagine much of that will come out. Also, I thought I was I was booked in for next week to do the 40 minutes, and I made a mistake, wrote up my diary but didn't look, that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm doing the 15 minutes tonight, which I'm quite relieved about, and I'm also really relieved to be speaking first, because if I was doing the second one, I wouldn't be able to hear what the first person was saying. So, but also, I'm really glad that Radcliffe's doing the 40 minutes, because I kind of feel, like I've got a partner in crime here. So so that's good. We've known each other for a really long time, and I was wondering what to kind of talk about, because I could just do a kind of a life story, and then I used and it was shit, and then I got clean. It's been great but difficult. But also, I was wondering what it is that is one of the most important things for me, being clean. And I think the most important thing for me being clean is feeling connected. And right now I do, and I'm really nervous. My heart is really beating, my mouth's quite dry, but I'm beginning to feel connected to you guys, and I know you know where I've been, and I know you can probably imagine how I'm feeling right now. And that's enough. And I think when I was a little girl and I felt really odd and peculiar and just kind of not right for this world, that what I was missing out on was a feeling of feeling connected. And I sought that feeling all my life, really. I just wanted to feel okay, and I wanted to feel okay in this world, and that what I was doing was right, and that other people approved of me, which is kind of normal. But I just wanted that feeling, and I didn't feel like that when I was little. And I had quite a strange, unusual upbringing. My father comes from a long line of East End publicans. He was born in East London in a pub, and my mother wasn't. She was born in a nice big house in Somerset somewhere. So they came from very different, very, very different backgrounds. And they were also, he was 20 years older than her, and they really didn't have a lot in common. I mean, they were I'm not sure they were mismatched, but they were kind of, I think it was quite difficult for them to be married. I remember it being quite difficult for them to be married. And, they had a lot of children. I'm one of six kids. We grew up in a pub. We lived in a two-bedroom flat, but the pub was in Knightsbridge, and we all went to private school. So it was kind of, we were a bit different. And we were just a little bit different, and I felt different anyway. So, it was, I also felt very ashamed of who I was. I kind of, didn't feel right. I felt kind of just wrong. I got into drugs very, very young. I have a sister who's 14 years older than me, and when I was growing up in the 1970s, she was already a drug addict. And most of her friends were drug addicts, and most of the people who used to drink in my father's pubs were heroin addicts. That when the heroin started coming over from Iran in the late 70s, they were all using it, and they were all using it in my dad's pub. So I was very aware of this kind of drug scene. And it didn't frighten me. I don't feel like I'm here by mistake at all. I actively sought drugs. I wanted to be a drug addict. I really, really wanted to be a heroin addict, which to some people might say, oh my God, how awful, how did you get onto it? Were you forced into it? Did people kind of push it on you? I was like, no, you've got to be kidding. I saw, like most kids who grew up in the 70s, I listened to a lot of David Bowie, and when I was 12, my elder brother said, oh, I've got this video called Christiane F. Do you want to watch it? I was like, yeah, great, because we knew there was a live performance of David Bowie in Berlin. So I was like, yeah, 12 years old and didn't really know about drug addiction like I did after I saw that film. And, you know, I was still riding ponies and, you know, doing ballet classes at school and still going to school. And I saw this film and I just thought it was incredible. I thought it was amazing. You know, this girl kind of, you know, so romantic with her long red hair and her skinny legs and the high heels and David Bowie and prostitution and, you know, it was just fantastic. Just thought it was the most glamorous thing I'd ever seen. So that's what I decided I was going to do, and I kind of had to find the route. You know, it's not very easy when you're 12 years old living in the middle of the country, which I was, you know, between my mum and dad. So I managed to find it in London. And, you know, by the time I was 14, 15, I knew a lot of people who were kind of my friends, not my sister's friends, who were taking heroin, and they didn't really want to give it to me. They, you know, cocaine was very acceptable. Fixing cocaine as a 14-year-old girl, for some reason, was really acceptable, which strikes me as, you know, odd. But heroin was like a big no-no. And finally, I managed to steal some off somebody when I was 16. I knew where they kept it. I waited for them to go out, and I stole it, and I smoked it on the foil. And, you know, it wasn't really what I was expecting. I smoked a lot of cocaine. I smoked a lot of what we call freebase then. And heroin was very different. And I wasn't even sure if I really liked it, you know, but it was the drug that I'd been seeking all this time, and it was what I continued to do. And then I really got into it, and I really got into being a junkie. And I became that person. I mean, I was never as glamorous as Christiane F. I never really got there, but, you know, in my own little way, in King's Cross and Sussex Gardens and Earls Court and all those other, you know, lovely places after about 10 o'clock at night, you know, I did my thing. And, you know, all the other stuff that goes along with it. And I can honestly say that for a good few years, I really enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy being sick, but I really enjoyed getting money, and I really enjoyed having that first hit when I was really clucking badly. I enjoyed the danger. I liked the easiness of it. You know, you meet someone, they move in with you the next day, you know, all that kind of going out, shoplifting together, burglaries. I loved it. You know, I didn't want to lead a normal life, and I wouldn't have known how to. I really would not have known how to live a normal life. Thanks, Shelley. God, I've been talking for 10 minutes. I went so quickly. I'm quite enjoying it now. So, now I've got 5 minutes to talk about recovery, which isn't really enough at all. But going back to that, what I was talking about to begin with, about feeling connected, you know, I did feel connected to this kind of underworld, this subculture of addiction, but, you know, it's not very nice out there. And as we all know, it's really a really terrifying, lonely existence. And, you know, I was injecting for a long time, had a lot of problems physically from injecting drugs, overdoses, getting arrested, you know, all that stuff. Finally, 5.5 years ago, I got clean. And I'd been in a lot of different places, and I'd been coming to NA on and off for about 20 years. So I wasn't naive to this program. Well, I was, but I knew about NA, and I knew I could get clean, and I knew people that were clean. And I decided I'd had enough. And I was living in, I don't really have time to go into it, but it was really sad, it was really lonely. And I felt like I had two choices, and one was to kill myself and the other one was to clean up. And I have a 15-year-old son, and there was no way that I could do that. I didn't just have the guts to do it. So I got clean. And I got clean in Ireland. I got clean in a little stone cottage with no bath. And I was drinking about 100 mils of methadone a day, so you can imagine what the cup was like. It was pretty horrific. And but I was clean. And I suddenly became very excited about life. And Yeah, I was very excited about life again, which I didn't think would ever happen to me ever again. I'm just conscious of the time and not sure what to emphasise. The main thing is staying clean. That's the most important thing. And, it's obviously been the right thing to do, and it's felt like the right thing to do, but there's been times when I've really, really wanted to not feel what I've felt. There's times that I've really enjoyed feeling what I'm feeling. You know, I've had some amazing, amazing experiences in recovery. You know, I've just come back from Croatia. There's the seventh convention. That was fantastic. You know, absolutely. I mean, that was feeling connected. That was amazing. I just had the best time, you know. So there's been some difficulties. You know, the man that I was in a relationship with for 6 years, he died when I was 15 months clean. That was really difficult. I moved back to London. I was then diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. That was difficult, painful. And, you know, there's kind of two things been going on. You know, there's the great thing of being recovery and the positivity and the relationships and the connections and all that stuff. And there's been real life and it's been very, very harsh, some of it. I'm actually feeling really good at the moment. I've got a new sponsor. I've just met up with her this afternoon. It's been fantastic. I've been training to do something, professional qualification. I've just qualified. It was amazing. I left school at 14. Did nothing. So this is great. I mean, this is all down to recovery. And the most important thing, like I've said before, the connection and my friendships. You know, really, the friendships that I have, these wonderful people, some are here tonight, who I can ring up and they know what I'm talking about and they know how I feel. So I've done, well, I haven't really done what I've been told most of the time, but, you know, I've stayed clean, I've got commitments, I have a sponsor, I do step work, and I go to meetings. And, I'm really glad to be here. I mean, this is quite nerve-wracking doing this, but it's great too. And I'm really happy to be doing this. And I'm really, like I said to begin with, Radcliffe's here, and Radcliffe and I did a lot of using together. Lots of using together. So anyway, that's I look forward to listening to him. So thank you for listening to me.